Unity. Welcome everybody to Union Church again this morning. Y'all are a good looking bunch this morning. Brother Mickey confessed to me while I was over there. He says when the church starts to fill up, that's when his heart starts to fill up. And I have to agree with him. I said, my heart's full this morning. My heart's been full. The Lord has been gracious to me and I believe our church. And we've been blessed in the last few meetings and all the meetings I guess we've had. But here especially lately, my heart's just been full. It's been overflowing. You know what I think about everything God, as Brother Joe mentioned, counting your blessings. The cup just fills up and overflows. You start counting. We just don't have a big enough cup. But thank God that He's given to us abundantly and blessed us. I think about that song this morning that I asked we sing, and this is not the subject I have on my mind this morning, but I was, as we were singing, Pass Me Not, I think how contrary that is to my nature. in school, I was just hoping that the teacher would pass me up. I didn't want to be called on. But when we sing that song, Pass Me Not, there's a point in my life when I got tired of feeling like Lord wasn't calling on me anymore because I had been unfaithful on my end. That's a bad feeling, brother. That's a hard thing of guilt to live with. I tell you what, when our Lord and Savior calls, don't do it. Don't wait. Take that opportunity He's given you and do it. Because I tell you what, you can't run from it. You can't fight it. The Lord's called you to do something. Don't sit around waiting for signs and wonders and all these things. If you feel it in your heart, you guarantee God has laid it on your heart, you go and do those things. Because that's my prayer this morning. I don't want Him to pass me up. That's contrary to our nature. But like I said, back in school, I wanted to be passed up. But I tell you, when it comes to our Lord and Savior, I don't want to be passed up. I want to be called upon. If He'll bless me to do this, I want to do those things. But that's contrary to our nature sometimes. And if we let that other nature get in our way, we'll miss out on the blessings God has for us in doing those things that He's called us to do. But as I said, that's not what I had on my thought this morning, but I just thought I'd share it either way. Thoughts I have on my mind this morning come from John. If we turn to John chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 45, and we'll find that our Lord and Savior has met with the woman at the well, and He's come back to Capernaum, and He's come back into Galilee, Once He's come back into Galilee, we'll see in verse 45, it says, Then when He was come into Galilee, the Galileans received Him, having seen all the things that He did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water wine. So He had done miracles and signs in Jerusalem at the feast. He's come back to Cana of Galilee, where He turned the water into wine and blessed that wedding feast and done those miracles. And it says, And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto Him and besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Now, I haven't been at the state this man was in. I haven't been at the point where I thought my child would die. But I tell you what, at that point, I believe I would try anything when it was out of my power. If I heard a man could heal the sick, I believe I'd go to him. When all else fails, I think I'd go seek that man out. I don't believe this brother had an understanding of who Jesus was, but he had heard He was a man that could heal. And he was desperate for his son to be healed because he loved his son. So then Jesus said unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. This noble wanted Him to come to his house. Come, Lord, come down, come see my son. The Lord Jesus told him, He said, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Then He goes on to say, The nobleman saith unto Him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. But you know, the man here still inquired. He wasn't quite convinced. The word of his servants wasn't enough. What did he say? Then inquired he of them that hour when he began to amend. When did he become well? When did he become to start to be better? And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. And then the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now we see this man, he wanted Jesus to come down. And then Jesus said, thy son liveth, and he was satisfied for a moment. And then we'll see he comes back down here and his servants met him and told him his son liveth. But even then he still doubted a little bit. And he said, well, what hour did he start? And then once they explained to him what hour it was, then he says, as Jesus, is when Jesus spoke. That's when he understood who he was. I want to go to another spot now this morning. If we turn back to Matthew 8, we're going to see where Jesus healed another person. Turn to Matthew 8 and 5. Same town. Capernaum. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So here Jesus is telling the Roman centurion, I'll go with you and heal him. Back over here, the other man was wanting him to come and heal him. I want y'all to notice the difference here. The centurion answered him and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have found not so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Here we have one, the Lord says, so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. This Roman centurion. That lets you know right there, it's not about flesh and blood. The other one, we had this Jew that was at Capernaum, who wanted Jesus to come and see. And we had this Roman centurion here saying, you don't even have to come, you just got to speak the word. Now the Lord blessed both. He healed both. But what was the difference in both? I tell you what, it was doubt, but it was faith. See, one had very strong faith. One had a little bit of faith. But I tell you what, even in that faith, I said both were healed. But one understood the power of God at the first. Now, at the end, they all understood it. But here we see that this Roman says, you don't have to come down. You just got to say the word. See, he took Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the first time at his word. And Jesus marveled at that. You know, I believe that's pleasing to God when we take him at his word the first time. You know, I remember my daddy. And I'll never forget this. You know, Brother Randy did a lot of business and had a lot of dreams and big ideas and big plans, and he tried his hardest. And he always made a living for his family and took care of us. But it was always an adventure. I'll say that. I learned a lot, though. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I remember one time, once I got out of school, and I had You know, made a little bit of money. I'd saved a little bit of money. I'd done pretty good. Daddy had this little company he called Super Sweet going. And, you know, I had fun riding around with Daddy. Sometimes I'd get to go with him, go on those trips. And I could tell Daddy was excited about it. He enjoyed doing that business. And he needed some investment money. And he came to me and he said, "Son, Daddy needs a little investment money. I need some." And I said, "Yeah, Daddy, how much you need?" Now, I'm not going to tell you how much I gave him. That's between me and him. But I tell you what, I just gave it to him because I believed in my daddy. I believed in him. See, my daddy had told me things in my life. And if it was in his power to do them, he did them. I had faith in my daddy because I had evidence of those things that he would do. So my daddy told me this was a good thing and he needed my help. He never told me no. Why should I tell him no? And my daddy confessed to me not long before he passed away that it meant more to him that I had the faith in him to give him that. It meant more to him than anything, any other investment he ever got, that his son would believe in him that much. That at his word he gave him those things. I tell you what, I love my daddy, but how much greater is our Savior? The things that he has left on record for us that he said he would do and that he did, is it not enough? I tell you what, it's enough. But I tell you what, we're no different than these brethren. You know, sometimes I'm like the Roman centurion. Sometimes I'm like this old nobleman down at Capernaum. You know, sometimes I say, "Really, Lord, do you want me?" I was like, "Okay, I'm good for a little while." And then I say, "I'll come back and I'll do it again." I say, "Lord, you sure?" And then you know what? He continues to show me and he leads me in those things. And sometimes the Lord lays it on my heart to do something. And I just go and do it. And I tell you, there's a blessing in those things. But sometimes we're a strong faith. Sometimes we're a weak faith. What happens in between? I tell you what, it's doubt. I say we're no better than our other brethren that came before us. You know, I tell you, this nobleman at Capernaum, I believe he had faith. I believe he was a child of God. Because even after he saw those signs and miracles, he did believe. And I don't believe you can believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if you don't have faith. So he has some. And if you only got a mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains. And I tell you what, as long as you got that mustard seed, the only way you got that mustard seed was because the Lord and Savior gave it to you. So if we got faith at all, that's proof and evidence that he was a child of God. I tell you what, more proof of a child of God is like, you know, there's a lot of people that saw the signs and wonders, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they did not believe. They would not believe. They could not believe. This man believed. So I know this guy Capernaum was a child of God. This Roman centurion believed on his word and said you could do it just by speaking it. He had great faith. This man and nobleman at Capernaum had a little bit of faith. But I tell you what, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ covered both of them. But I tell you what, I believe this old Roman centurion had a lot more confidence. I believe he had a lot more peace about what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instead of going back and forth trying to doubt what God had told him. So that's the rub, isn't it? That's the fight we fight, isn't it? Fighting against doubt. That's one of the worst things we have to fight against. I tell you what, I remember Nathaniel. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told him, "I saw you when you were out under that fig tree." When Nathaniel says, "You are the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God." And our Lord and Savior told him, I says, "I just told you this thing. I tell you what, one day you're going to see the heavens open and angels ascending and descending from heaven. This is just a small thing." That was one of the apostles. You get back a little bit further over there after the resurrection, we find another apostle called Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the scars in his side, I won't believe." So he had to see it to believe it, even though all his brethren had already told him that our Lord and Savior had risen. We're just like that. We're not unsusceptible to that. So how do we establish ourselves? How do we keep ourselves from doubt? If we turn, go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. You know, the hardest thing, or the best way to fight against doubt, is you need a little evidence. You need a little evidence. No, our Lord, excuse me, that's not where I want to go first. I want to go to 2 Timothy 3 and 15. I want to notice. Here Paul in 2 Timothy 3 and 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith." You know, the Scriptures won't do you no good unless you got faith. You notice that? "Able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof." You know, I find that interesting that it doesn't just say proof, but it says reproof. What is proof? Well, proof is evidence of something, isn't it? And reproof means you get it over and over again. I tell you what, child of God, when we get out of this old world and we doubt, I tell you what, there's something we can turn to. There's some evidence that we got that we can turn to over and over and over again to have reproof. You doubting this old world out there? Come back to His Word. It says it's profitable to you. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. Now I told you that without faith, the preaching of the gospel doesn't do you amount of good. But I believe I'm talking to some people that have faith, some people that believe. In 1 Corinthians, that's what Paul is talking about here, that this old natural man can't understand the things of God. But only those things that are spiritual understand the things of God. So if this Bible means something to you, then it's good for your reproof. It's good for your correction. Verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, my cousin Luke pointed out to me last night when I was talking to him that that word power comes from the Greek word, Hebrew word, dynamis, which we derive our English word dynamite from. Power. Potential power. It's explosive. Brother Luke pointed out to me, you know what dynamite does? It moves mountains. I tell you, when we're trying to overcome doubt, when we're trying to overcome those mountains and hills and valleys that get set before us in this life, and the doubt that sets in sometimes, I tell you what, the preaching of the gospel and His Word is like dynamite. It'll blow it up. It is the power of God to them that believe, to them that are saved. I tell you what, it's good for reproof and it's good for correction and it's good to help you overcome these things, because it tells you time and time again what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for His people. It is the evidence to those that believe. It won't do anything, any bit of good to anybody else. But I tell you what, to the child of God, those that are saved, those that are believed, I tell you what, it is the power of God. It is how we overcome. It's how we're reminded. It's how we're called to remembrance that our Lord and Savior has been with us and has done all those things that we may not doubt. I tell you, Brother Joe, that's all good. Back in that day, those brothers got to see the miracles and everything. What did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tell Thomas? He told Thomas, "Blessed are you because you have seen and believed." But He says, really? The blessed ones are those that believe and have not seen. See, Thomas got to see with natural eyes. Natural eyes. But me and you, I tell you what, that's talking to me and you. We're blessed. I don't know about you, but I've never seen the nail prints in His hands. I've never seen the scar in His side. But I tell you what, when I read this Bible, and it talks to me and tells me how my Lord Savior was crucified and what they did to Him, I tell you what, my heart burns. I tell you what, it makes me feel so unworthy that He died for me that way. I tell you what, if that means something to you, that's an evidence of faith. If you've got that evidence, brethren, this morning, that's evidence enough for me this morning. He said it. I believe it. And I believe it, and that's good enough. But you know, some of us, even further than that, you know, we go back and read about this Bible. You know, we're no different. We're accepted the same thing the apostles were. You know, even John the Baptist doubted, didn't he? And what did the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say? Go show John again these things. the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I tell you what, the poor are still having the gospel preached to them. I tell you what, the lame are still walking. I tell you what, I've seen when God works something in their child of God's heart, and they come back to this church and they hear the gospel preached, and it pricks their heart, and it means something to them, and they realize they've been living not according to God's law, and when they haven't been walking rightly, I tell you what, that's just as bad as being lame when you're not walking rightly with God. And I've seen them be healed of that, and I've seen God lead them to repentance, and they turn around and they're able to walk justly and walk rightly. I tell you what, I've seen some that didn't know the truth from a lie, but they've come to God's house and God has prepared that heart. And when we preach the gospel to them, you know, sometimes God blesses them to hear it, and they're able to see those things that they weren't able to see, those things they were blind to, now they see. The things they were deaf to, they hear. And that's from a spiritual sense. I'm trying to talk to you about some evidences we have that we might fight against the doubt that sometimes creeps in. When we go to the Word, what evidences do we have? I tell you what, from a historical standpoint, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that that old temple that the Jews were so proud of, said not one stone would be left on top of the other. What happened? This is a matter of historical fact. 70 A.D., the Roman army destroyed the temple. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said He was the end of the law. He was the fulfilling of the law. You understand, if the law didn't end, oh, there would still be a temple standing. There would still be those Jews. They would still be making sacrifices and all those things that were back in the Old Testament, because the law wasn't fulfilled at that point. They would still be having to do the same things. But this day, the Jewish nation and that Judaism, they don't sacrifice anymore. You know why they don't sacrifice anymore? Because there's no temple anymore. And that's the only place they could sacrifice. And they've received no commandment from God since then to rebuild the temple. So they cannot sacrifice anymore. I tell you what happened? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said this was the end. It was the end of that old law. That is historical fact and proof that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was, He has. And you don't have to go to the Bible to find that. You can go to the history books to find that. But you do need to come here to see where the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said it. Let me rephrase that. Oh Lord, Brother Mickey, I done went over. But there's so many other evidences, brother. I'll share this last one with you. Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ said His words wouldn't pass away. I tell you what, our calendar, our years to date, are set by the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the year 2022 right now. You know what happened 2022 years ago? They crucified our Lord and Savior. And His word hasn't passed away, because Lord willing, we're still speaking it this morning. And I tell you what, as long as Joe Myers is alive, it'll be spoke to the best of my ability that God blesses me to say it with. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said He would still call me in to feel these things. If you need to see something, to believe something, look at me this morning. And I don't mean that in any kind of conceited way. You looking at a miracle this morning, standing behind this pulpit. You know, a dear sister has inspired me that the only way we're really going to help one another out is to share our experiences. Let me tell you about my fight that I had against our God. I didn't win. You know, I didn't think I could be a preacher. And we're just going to put it all out there this morning. How about it? I love my wife. My wife didn't want me to be a preacher. She said, I'm never going to be all right with that. And I understand that. Y'all don't hold that against my wife. Please. I don't know anybody that knows anything about preaching that would just be overjoyed about that. It's hard. It's hard. It's not all roses. I know that probably better than anybody because I watched my grandfather and daddy. I know that it's not. I know there's hard times and there's things you have to do when you're a preacher that you don't like doing, but you got to do it because you've been commanded to do it. If you're going to be a good shepherd, you got to do those things. But I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be. I tell you what, I couldn't sleep. I don't know how many years I went by when I'd be woken up in the middle of the night and just feel this sense of guilt. My conscience wasn't clear. But you know what? I still said, all right, Lord. I was like, you're going to have to make a way if you want me to do this. I said, you're going to have to make it all right with my wife. That might be, you're going to have to make it all right with my wife. And that might not, that's probably wrong on my part to believe that way, but that's how I felt. That's how it was. I said, Lord, you want me to do this? See, I didn't take him at his word. See, I'm guilty. That's the hardest thing about being a preacher, I think, is we're guilty too. We men just like you. We fall. We rise. Some days we feel like we could charge hell with a water pistol. Some days we out there under the juniper tree. But I told her, so the Lord said, okay. And my wife, at one point before Daddy passed away, you know, it was just too much. I told Christy, I said, Christy, I don't care if you support me or not. I got to do this. And Christy said, okay. And she had a hard time with it. She cried about it. And I cried about it. So that's the stuff y'all don't know about sometimes. Y'all don't know about it if we don't tell you about it. Then finally one day her pastor, she went to see her pastor about it. She's not Primitive Baptist. She's Catholic. That's about as far apart as you can get, ain't it? Tell me how God, I know God's got a sense of humor. That's one way. He teaches us things we don't think we'll ever know. He also showed me how he works. Our God is not limited. The walls of a church don't stop him. He can work down there in a Catholic church in South Louisiana just as much as he works in a Primitive Baptist church in Ruth, Mississippi. Christy went to her pastor and she said, my husband thinks he needs to be a preacher. And it's way on his mind. And I know he needs to do that. And I want him to be able to do that. But I'm not all right with that. And she thought some kind of way that she would be guilty of something according to her faith if she did that. And you know what that Catholic priest said? He said, Christy, you don't need to be like that. You need to support him. You need to support him because he'll point people to Jesus. You know what a miracle that is? For me, it's a miracle that a Catholic priest would say, support your husband who's a Primitive Baptist, that he might point people to Jesus. That tells me the walls fall down when it comes to what our Lord and Savior wants done, what our God has purposed. If you need evidence, you just got to look around. You know, the hardest other thing, you know, I think sometimes that we're trying to convince other people. We're trying to prove things to other people that don't know anything about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we get bogged down sometimes. You young people, this is another point I want to make, and I hadn't followed my outline exactly, Brother Mickey, and I've gone way over now, and I apologize, but our young people, when they go out into these colleges, I tell you what, there's no doubt you're going to face skeptics. The best thing and advice I can give you, and they're going to cause you to doubt, because they're going to say that this world was not created by God. They're going to say that these are all just fairy tales and fables. And the hardest part of that is we want to argue against those things. But the evidence we have, they don't have. So the best advice I can give you in that case is to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. That's what this Bible says do. But say, Brother Joe, we don't like debate and all of that. No. My Bible tells me be closed-minded to some things. Anybody that tells me there is no God, that's a fool. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Then 2 Timothy 2:23, it tells me to avoid unlearned and foolish questions. So yes, sir, I avoid and I'm closed-minded to the questions of the fool. Don't let those things. This Bible has told us. See, he's given us a defense here against those things, to close our mind to those things. We have plenty of evidence that we shouldn't doubt. We can take his word for it every day of the week and on Sunday. Thank you for your good attention.